I'm Sarah Lusher, and welcome to this October edition of the Chatterbox Norfolk Magazine. We are bringing you this issue with the kind permission of Archant Publishers, and with our readers and technicians all working from home to bring you articles about the people and places around the county. So, our readers Kevin Ford, John Francis, Sarah Kings and Caroline Aldry are ready with lots of interesting articles. We hear from Norfolk's Banking Dame, how nature saved a man's life, how the rewilding of Norfolk is happening. Black History Month sees two local people talk about their life and achievements, an author's path to success, the secrets of the secret garden, and how our fine city has changed over the last 50 years. First, here is Dominic Castle, editor of the print edition of the Norfolk Magazine. Dominic.
I grew up in the heart of Norfolk, and it always seemed a wild place to me. We played in overgrown woods, dammed little streams, climbed trees and discovered abandoned orchards on the field margins, with their riotously abundant apples, pears and plums. Most of it wasn't wild, of course. Norfolk's rural landscape is almost as man-made as a city, shaped by the plough over centuries into wide open fields under wide open skies. But that could all be about to change, as we report in this month's issue. Two substantial rewilding projects on opposite sides of the county aim to return thousands of acres to Mother Nature to do with, more or less, as she pleases. It's an attractive proposition, is it not? Huge tranches of the country no longer subjugated to the demands of agriculture, but instead allowed to recover, to rest and to regain some of the form that our forebears knew. This is not to knock the farmer, of course. We are still going to need food, and plenty of it, as we seek more food security. But if these projects encourage landowners to look at low-grade land in a new way, it has to be a good thing for the county, the country and, ultimately, the planet. On a smaller scale, we can also pitch in by rewilding some or indeed all of our gardens. We're lucky enough to have a decent patch of ground attached to our poky little rural residence. Not acres, but enough, and we're ahead of the game in the rewilding stakes. I should admit this is not entirely by design. Sloth and ignorance have played a leading role in this project. Nonetheless, we press on with an active programme of doing nothing, and we seem to be doing quite well, with lots of cheerful weeds, bugs in abundance, and small fauna burrowing away in the corners. Next year we plan to do more rewilding and even less gardening, and, if challenged on the general untidiness of our plot, we'll come up with a suitably smug response. It's October, season of ghosts and ghouls and miscellaneous spookiness, though without being too curmudgeonly, I think many people will be hoping that the current unpleasantness will keep at home all those little spooks in their cheap Tesco costumes demanding Haribo with menaces. We're quite well served for phantoms in Norfolk, though I've never seen one. My childhood home in Clint Green was quite old, and after a warm day, would creak and groan in the night in ways that could make a small person sit up sharply in bed, saucer-eyed. The mind plays tricks. One early autumn evening, two friends and I were fishing the River Yare through what is now Barnum Broom Golf Club. As the mists began to rise, Carl started talking about a mysterious pike man he'd heard about who lived in the river. We were agog. Suddenly, there was a tremendous splashing and gurgling in the reeds nearby. Exit three boys shrieking. We pedalled home faster than Bradley Wiggins, especially past the church graveyard. A couple of years later, I worked on the golf course as a greenkeeper, and a colleague, fishing that same spot, pulled out a gigantic pike, a beast far too big for that narrow little stream. Coincidence? Enjoy the issue, and please don't have nightmares.